Well, good morning, beloved of God, and good morning to those who are watching online, like my mom and my mother-in-law, and maybe my brother and nephew. And welcome to all that are visiting today. It's so nice to see you here. I'm Deacon Gail Duffy, and if you ever want to read an action-packed gospel, Mark is the one for you. Today we land in chapter 10 with the story of Bartimaeus. Now, the previous chapters have been full of miracle healings, physical healings, feeding of thousands, walking on water, restoring a dead girl to life. And word is getting out, and Jesus is gathering crowds everywhere he goes. Now, to give context, Jesus and his disciples are walking now on the way to Jerusalem, and they're passing through Jericho. Jesus has repeatedly been telling the disciples that he's going to be delivered to the hands of men and be killed. And after 3 days, he will rise again. But the disciples are not understanding this. They're not getting what he's saying. They're not getting what kind of king he will be, a suffering servant. In last week's gospel, if you remember, James and John are concerned with getting positions of power. They have the boldness to say to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Then they ask to sit one at his right hand and one at his left hand in his glory. Not only was this request one that Jesus could not grant, but it was also super pushy and, as my daughter would say, rude. The other disciples were naturally upset with James and John, but Jesus set them straight, didn't he? "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And that is where we pick up our story today. As Jesus and the 12 are walking on the road through Jericho, there's a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. He's sitting on the side of the road, and he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And instead of bringing Bart to Jesus, the crowd tries to hush him. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He's asking for mercy, not a seat of power, like those two disciples. Though he's blind and vulnerable, Bartimaeus recognizes who Jesus is. He cries out to Jesus, acknowledging him with a messianic title. The prophets of ancient Israel looked for a day when the Messiah, the ultimate descendant of David, would rule over the nation. But how did Bartimaeus know about Jesus? I'll bet it was because he heard about all the other healing miracles Jesus had done. The crowd following Jesus was talking, maybe some of them even giving their testimonies. After all, the very last line of the Gospel of John tells us, "Now there are many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Back to our story. Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus. And, excuse me, and the people said, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, I would have liked to see that. That's just my kind of enthusiasm. Just ask Grace or Tom what happened when we went to the Del Mar Fair and they had a game of Family Feud. And they picked from all the people there, they drew, and they said, "Gail Duffy." Woohoo! Okay? So this Bartimaeus is a guy after my heart. And I imagine maybe like another game show, The Price is Right. "Blind Bartimaeus, come on down. You're the next recipient of the love and mercy of Jesus Christ." And I would add also, the love and mercy of God the Father. because this was all the Father's plan. Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. And Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do?" Excellent question. What do you want me to do? Bartimaeus was used to begging. That was his life. Perhaps he might have said, "Hey, can you have Judas give me a few denarii?" Or so I could buy some food, or, you know, I could use some new sandals. But he didn't ask that, did he? He went for it. He said, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And why would he think Jesus had the power or the desire to do that? Listen to Isaiah 61, which Jesus reads in Luke chapter 4. You will know this. It will be very familiar to you. "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Jesus. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" This is who Jesus said he was. And look at what he did. Speaking to Bartimaeus, he said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately Bartimaeus recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Now, if you ask me, Bartimaeus might have been one of the smartest men in the Bible. And why do I say that? After he received his healing, he continued to follow Jesus on the way. He didn't lose sight of where his help came from. It came from the Lord Jesus. And Bartimaeus was focused on him. He left his old life completely behind. His faith made him well, and his future was with Jesus. And now he's not on the roadside anymore. He's on the roadway. The way was the early Christians' word for what we call Christianity. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the last healing miracle before Jesus goes to Jerusalem, where he will suffer and die on the cross. This is fitting, then. In this last miracle, Jesus gave recovery of sight to the blind, actually taking someone from darkness and moving them into light. This has been the rescue plan for all of us since the beginning. Jesus came to bring light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. This is the best year since creation because our King Jesus was going to Jerusalem to give his life as a ransom for many, as a ransom for Bartimaeus, and as a ransom for you. And look at what else Bartimaeus does. When Jesus heals him physically by restoring his sight, this is just the beginning. Physical healing is often an entry point for other healing. Bartimaeus does not stay in Jericho, but now he's part of a group. Instead of being by himself on the side of the road, he's now on the roadway with the group. He has dignity and purpose moving forward. He could start earning his own living if he wanted to. But it's part of his spiritual healing. And he has a great testimony. We're still talking about it today. I have a few questions for you, and you guys know I really want you. I really mean that you're to answer, okay? You can nod your head, answer out loud, raise your hand, however you're comfortable. Have you ever been physically healed in a miraculous way? Anybody? Okay. About eight to ten of you. Have any of you been healed by Jesus spiritually or emotionally? And by that I mean experienced an inner healing, a healing in your soul, a healing that changed the way you saw yourself or changed the way you experienced God's love or gave you peace that surpasses all understanding. Nod, raise your hand. Yes. Okay, that's almost everybody in the house. Well, one of the first things that I experienced when I became part of this church community was seeing someone I invited to church miraculously healed. He came to one of our midweek church services. And many of you know, because I've told it before, and I'm pretty sure my family could tell it by heart, the story of John Clegg. It's too long to tell for this time today, but the short version is, John had a problem with a tumor behind his eye, and doctors were going to need to take his eye out to get the tumor out. And when John came to the healing service, his request to the prayer team was this: don't pray for my eye. Don't just pray for my eye. Pray for all of me. Like Bartimaeus, John wanted a completely new life with a deep connection to Jesus. John was on the roadside, and he wanted to be on the roadway, following Jesus passionately. And by the way, after about three or four times of praying for him, the tumor shrunk and he did not have to have his eye out at that time. The DNA of this church has always included healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we move forward, let's remember that Jesus is about transforming lives with love. And somehow he trusts us, his followers, to bring a message of hope and healing into this hurting world. One of the easiest ways that we can do that is just simply by telling stories of how Jesus helped us. You don't have to make it complicated. You don't have to be a gifted speaker. And you don't have to be a Bible expert. You just need to be authentic and willing to share a before and after story. And you're planting seeds. As your deacon, I'm only successful at my calling if I'm equipping you to be a minister for Christ in the world. Each of you is gifted uniquely, and so that is going to look different for each one of you. Some of you might remember our San Diego Deanery seminarian, Travis Wilson. Travis came here about 3 years ago when we had a brunch cook-off, and he taught us about this program called Beyond Awkward. It was about engaging in some what might be awkward conversations with people. Travis and I had coffee last week, I think. I lose track of the time, and we were talking about he particularly was saying he thinks that we need to shift people's thinking in our congregations about serving, and how they view themselves. Travis commented he'd like to shift from thinking, I serve in this ministry, to I am a minister. And I don't see him here today, so his ears are going to be burning, but I know Jim Turnbull gets what I'm saying. I had a wonderful conversation with him this past week. Did you know that Jim calls and checks in on folks who are primarily housebound? He's done this for years. Ask him about it next time you see him. Jim loves Jesus and he loves people. But to my point about being a participant in ministry versus seeing yourself as a minister, he already gets it. Jim told me, I am a Stephen minister. He didn't say, I'm a part of this ministry called Stephen Ministry. It might not seem like a big difference, but it really is. Most of you know that I am passionate about the power of prayer, and I'll talk to strangers and pray with anybody who will let me. And the reason that I'm fearless about this is because Christ lives in me. And guess what? He lives in you too. And if you're a baptized believer, he lives in you. And Christ is who we want people to meet. And that's who he's meeting when he meets you. I'm so happy to be back at my home church and serve on this clergy team here at Christ the King. We are always trying to equip you for your ministry outside the church. As I close, take a moment and think about this. Are you on the roadside or are you on the roadway? Do you need some roadside assistance? It's okay if you do. We got some AAA rescue members up here, as well as others in your congregation. This has been a really hard past year and a half. Please do not lose hope. In fact, take heart. Jesus is ready to meet you with his love and mercy. And finally, let's look out at our neighbors. Who do you know who might need hope and encouragement? Can you share a simple story from your life? After all, you are a minister for Christ and you carry his light. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the light, for your sacrifice, for the example of discipleship that we see in Bartimaeus. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, let us know your love, and compel us to look out into the world. Pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.